I came across this headline the other day. Could it be said of you? This is how it read. Convicted by clear teaching of Scripture, local man decides Scripture is unclear. The article read, after being convicted by the clear teaching of Scripture with regards to certain aspects of his deeply ingrained theological and political worldview, local man Lenny Barton took to his social media accounts to declare Scripture to be entirely unclear on the issue, sources confirmed Thursday. After carefully reviewing the plain, unambiguous biblical texts that disagree with my own conception of who God should be, I have come to the conclusion that Scripture is unclear, he wrote to his several hundred internet followers. Now, maybe it's because of the way I'm reading it, but that ought to elicit a chuckle from you. The Bible was written in the context of ancient cultures, in ancient languages, and by ancient authors, he wrote, though he had looked up several commentaries written by renowned biblical scholars that addressed these interpretive challenges, and unanimously agreed on the plain meaning of the text in questions. Therefore, whenever it comes into conflict with my personal convictions, feelings, or sins, I will bring up this fact and refuse to confront the obvious meaning of the text. We just can't know with any certainty what the Bible is talking about, he concluded. At publishing time, Barton had quoted several sections of Scripture that seemed to agree with his personal politics and conception of God, declaring these particular passages to be undeniably clear. Now, I found that at a Christian website, satire website. I laughed when I first read it. Satire, as you know, has to have an element of truth to it to be funny. Could the headline and the article be written about you? What is your view of the authority of Scripture? What is your view of the authority of Scripture? We're going to deal with this morning. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture from Isaiah. He was the first of the major prophets. His name means the Lord saves, or the Lord is Savior. Israel had long been split, and now Judah, the southern kingdom, was headed toward destruction. Israel, the northern kingdom, had already been destroyed. Isaiah was the first of the major prophets the Lord used to try and get Judah back. I'm going to ask you three questions concerning the authority of Scripture. The authority of the Bible. How you answer them will reveal your view of the authority of Scripture. Let's read together Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who execute a plan, but not mine, and make an alliance, but not of my spirit, in order to add sin to sin. Who proceed down to Egypt without consulting me, to take refuge in the safety of Pharaoh and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore, the safety of Pharaoh will be your shame, and the shelter in the shadow of Egypt your humiliation. For their princes are at Zoan, and their ambassadors arrive at Hanes. Everyone will be ashamed because of a people who cannot profit them, who are not for help or profit, but for shame and also for reproach. The oracle concerning the beasts of the Negev, through a land of distress and anguish, from where lioness and lion, viper and flying serpent, they carry their riches on the backs of young donkeys and their treasures on camel's humps to a people who cannot profit them, even Egypt, whose help is vain and empty. Therefore, I have called her Rahab, who has been exterminated. Now go. Write it on a tablet before them and inscribe it on a scroll, that it may serve in the time to come as a witness forever. For this is a rebellious people, false sons, sons who refuse to listen to the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, you must not see visions, and to the prophets, you must not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us pleasant words, prophesy illusions. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, since you have rejected this word and have put your trust in oppression and guile and have relied on them, therefore this iniquity will be to you like a breach about to fall, a bulge in a high wall, whose collapse comes suddenly in an instant, whose collapse is like the smashing of a potter's jar, so ruthlessly shattered that a shard will not be found among its pieces to take fire from a hearth or to scoop water from a cistern. For thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest you will be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you were not willing. And you said, no, for we will flee on horses, therefore you shall flee. And we will ride on swift horses, therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one man. You will flee at the threat of five until you are left as a flag on a mountaintop and as a signal on a hill. Does your view of the Bible show respect or disrespect to the Lord? What Judah did was show disrespect to the Lord. The people had become rebellious. They had become stubborn and had withdrawn from the Lord. They demonstrated their disrespect for the Lord by making it plain that they had no connection to God's will. They didn't care. They demonstrated their disrespect for the Lord by making a plan that had no connection. They were in trouble, and instead of turning to the Lord, they began to turn other ways. They were in covenant with God, but instead of being true to that, they decided they'd go to Egypt and set about making an alliance with them. They wanted protection. They wanted safety. And they said, oh, man, look, what's happening now? And you say, well, hadn't they gone to Egypt before? Yes, they had. But they didn't make an alliance with Egypt like they were. Yes, Joseph gets sent. You know the story. But God saved them through Egypt and took them home. Here they were really in trouble of their own making. And they went to Egypt. And they did all this because they did not seek the Lord. They had three sources of divine wisdom available to them. First, they could look to past revelation from the Lord to see if God supported such a move, and he did not. They could look to past revelation. Now, they didn't have the whole Bible like you and I do. But God had spoken to them. They knew what God had said. And when, if you'll stop and think about it, whether or not you hold to the Bible or not tells me a whole lot about what you think about God. Because if God is not big enough, strong enough, wise enough, powerful enough to get to us, in 2018, what he intends for us, he's not much, is he? But God is big enough, and God is powerful enough, and he did get to us. He did give us what we need. The second thing that they had available to them is to see what God would say about something. They could go to a priest and have him inquire with the Urim and Thummim, as they did on other occasions. And that was a God-directed thing. Now, I don't know exactly, and no one seems to know exactly what the Urim and Thummim were. But they were small. And they may have been a small cube. And maybe on one side they had certain dots on the other side. I don't know. They may have looked like a pair of dice. But it was something small enough that the priest could put down into the breastplate or the breast piece that he wore. So it wasn't massive, and there was something. And you know, the Bible talks about casting lots, and somewhere in there's a similarity. But God would reveal himself through that. And the third thing they could do is wait for a prophetic word from God, just to have a sense of what God is saying. But all three of these they rejected. Nah, we don't need that. Judah chose to do what they wanted. Their action opposed God's will and would lead to utter failure. They showed disrespect to the Lord. I came across the story of a young lady, a professing believer, and the prayer she prayed. She had met a young man who was not a believer, and they began dating, and she knew what Scripture said about that, how she was not to be unequally yoked with a non-believer. And this is what she prayed. Lord, thank you for letting me meet Pete. Over these last months, I think I have fallen in love with Pete. Lord, please save Pete. Send someone to share the gospel with him. Please, Lord, I love Pete and want to marry him. But this is how the Lord heard her prayer. Lord, I don't really care what you have to say about how I am to live my life and who I am to marry. Do what I want. Amen. Now, does that kind of prayer, that kind of thinking show respect or disrespect to the Lord? Well, obviously it's disrespect. Are you doing anything similar in your life? What about your life are you seeking the Lord's direction about? And what does His Word say about the matter? Ignorance is no excuse. We love to say, well, I just didn't know. Now, I have told you before, and it's coming up now that we have turned the calendar over. I live in mortal fear of getting a letter in the mail saying you are going to be audited by the IRS. I actually got one from the state of North Carolina. We did last year, and it was because of they didn't enter something right. But for a while there, you know, the heart rate was up and the sweat was probably. Let me tell you, if you go to be audited by the IRS, they're not going to let you say, well, I just didn't know, and let you off. Because if it's written there, you ought to be able to find it wherever there is. Scripture speaks to all of life. How we're to live. Think about what you hear on the news. Sexuality, abortion, marriage, origin of life, immigration, money, stewardship of all that God has given to us. And Scripture tells us how to live, how we're to look at all of these matters. It tells us the kind of person to marry. It tells us how to look at money and things and how to manage them. It tells us how to look at issues such as sexuality and man's laws and responsible management. Does what you think, what you say is okay, line up with Scripture? Your view of who God is reflected by whether or not you line up with what Scripture says. What is your view of God? And what kind of headline could be written about your life? The second question is the amount of respect your view shows due to your refusal to listen. How Israel showed their disrespect was by not listening. In verse 6, Isaiah begins a description of Judah's journeys down to Egypt. God did not tell them to go to Egypt. They had their problems, and instead of turning to the Lord and seeking Him and His deliverance, they said, oh, you know what? Let's go down to Egypt. And so through the wilderness of the Negev, a land of distress and anguish where dangerous animals roamed about, they went. They went down to Egypt arrogantly thinking they would be the answer to their problems. Only to find out that Egypt is vain and empty. And so the Lord, wanting to make His point even stronger, directed Isaiah to write it all on a tablet to provide public and private documentation of what he was saying. The people of Judah were disrespectful to the Lord. Because they refused to listen to the instruction of the Lord. The people were even silenced, those who would speak for the Lord. Do not prophesy to us what the Lord says. Don't prophesy to us what is right. Don't prophesy. Don't tell us any of that kind of stuff. Tell us pleasant words. Tell us things that we want to hear. Prophesy illusions. Tell us that what we want to hear, because we refuse to listen to the Lord. When we lived in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, there was a couple in our church about our age. We got to be pretty good friends with them, and the husband of the pair was a pretty good auto mechanic, and one of our cars began making this noise, and you know what Ray's advice to me was? Turn the radio up. Drown it out. Every time I hear something or turn the radio up, I think about Ray. Just drown it out. Turn the noise up. Is that what you do to the Lord? You don't want to hear it, so you just turn something up in your life so that you cannot or will not hear what He has to say? Do you refuse to listen to what He has to say? What is your view of Scripture? And what authority does it have in your life? Is verse 9 a description of you? For this is a rebellious people, false sons who refuse to listen to the instruction of the Lord. Is that a description of you? How much of your decision-making about matters falls back to traditions or what you have always done? How much of it falls in line with our culture? Media is powerful, whether that be television or radio or the internet. Media is powerful. Remember 20 or 30 years ago, maybe it was a little longer, different races of people began being introduced into things? Now let me tell you, do not liken what I'm about to say to race, because God made us as we are. God made us who we are, the color of our skin, and every one of us has been created in the image of God. Whether that be a kid with European descent or somebody from the heart of Africa, discrimination due to race is wrong. Remember how they started introducing black characters into television shows? What are they doing now? Almost every television show that you'll watch will have either a transsexual person or a homosexual person. And what they're trying to do is tear us down. I find it ironic that those who push evolution, you know, that just all of a sudden the Big Bang or something just happened and here we are, and I find it ironic that people who push evolution, survival of the fittest, also push homosexuality. Stop and think about that. As you think through the issues we're facing in this country, how are you deciding matters? What kind of headline could be written about you and your life? The third question, does the disrespect you show the Lord and your refusal to listen to Him stem from your rejection of the Bible? Why Judah showed their disrespect by not listening was because they had rejected God's word. They had rejected God's word to them. And they put their trust in the ways of the world. Oppression and guile, that was what they were about. They had rejected the Bible. They had made their choice. Now the consequences were coming. And Isaiah then used some word pictures. The consequences of their sin would be like a wall about to fall down. You didn't know when it was going to happen, but when it happened, it happened. And then he used two more examples to let them know just how bad it was going to be. He said it's going to be like smashing a potter's jar. And there would be nothing left of use. He gave two examples. One was if in a home a pottery jar. I'm trying to talk fast so you'll listen fast, but I'm talking too fast for my brain. But a pottery jar would fall and smash, and the mom or the dad would say, "Well, you know, uh-oh." But they would take the pieces, and the bigger pieces they would either use to scrape up the coals out of the fire and get things going that way, or even maybe one of them they would use to get a drink of water with. But there was nothing left of any size of any use. And that's the picture that Isaiah is painting them. And the Lord had been telling them, as he has you, that only in repentance and rest will you be saved. Turn from your self-chosen way, from the work that you can accomplish. They needed to be quiet before the Lord. But they weren't. They were not willing. They said no. Now, I've got a better idea. We'll go down to Egypt, get their military help, their horses. And all that would not save them. And they would end up like a miserable remnant on top of a hill. They had rejected God's word, even God himself. And now he would reject them. Another Babylon Bee headline. I hope you catch this one. Local man tries hard, believes in self, fails miserably. Yeah, usually happens that way, doesn't it? Local man Nick Watterson tried hard, believed in himself, and yet somehow still failed miserably at his life's goals. Puzzled sources close to the local man claimed Wednesday. Friends and family claim the man is a total failure in spite of putting all his trust and confidence in himself. I don't get it. He tried really hard. He looked inside himself for strength and confidence, and yet he fell right on his face, one friend from college reported. He even had motivational posters all over his dorm room back in the day. It just doesn't make any sense. He did everything exactly the way Disney movies told us to do when we were kids. It's almost like there's a great sovereign outside of him that's really in control of everything and knows best. Sources close to the situation state Watterson's failure is total and complete, encompassing everything from the poor career path he chose to the bad company he continues to keep. Maybe he just didn't have enough faith in himself, his mother told reporters. Or maybe he had too much faith in himself. This morning, would you say that you accept or reject the Bible? Do you accept and go by what God says about life and how to live it? Just as I have said, the Lord expects you to take your professed biblical values into the voting booth. The Lord expects you to take those values into every area and phase of life. What kind of headline could be written about your life? Remember what verse 1 said? Woe to the rebellious children. Is that woe pronounced over you? I don't want to think about what's being pronounced over us as a nation. Remember what Jessup read this morning? The first piece of spiritual armor is the belt of truth. How much are you in God's Word? Does your view of the Bible show respect or disrespect to the Lord? How much are you in God's Word away from this building? Is that because you refuse to listen? It has been said that only in America is nominal Christianity seen as what God expects. And I hate to think that that's true, but it is. Do you reject or hold to the Bible? What kind of headline could be written about your life?